News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, from Dan and Dalton. How y'all doing? 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. I think part of the story here this morning, again, is this continued rain that we're having. Of course, we've got flash flood watches now in Mobile and Baldwin County. It is definitely a problem out there, especially Mobile County, southwest portion of the county over there where we joined up with Mississippi down around I-10. So just be careful this morning for sure, and just be careful as this weather system just kind of hangs around at least the next couple of days.
Oh, yeah. It's been wet. There's no doubt about that. And we know, especially from recent driving performances around here, that results in some backups in many different places in Mobile and Baldwin counties. So we're just, I guess this Saturday, college football, and by the way, we're going to get to the brand new Kay Ivey single. It just dropped. Dan, you're really good at, you know, whenever a new single comes out, you're really good
at get it on the air.
Putting it on the air.
You got to get
it.
If you don't, somebody else is going to.
Right, and we know the hits.
Yep.
So
the
Ivey audio coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Rob Hulbert later in the hour, and Trump going after McConnell, Mitch McConnell.
Imagine that.
We'll get into that also. But college football technically starts this Saturday. I know I'll probably watch at least one of the games, maybe a couple. I just can't resist. But no real big games until next week, September 3rd. And that's when our FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge will begin. And the reason I'm mentioning it as often as I am is because for this challenge, if you want to win the grand prize, if you want to be involved at all, you have to get in before those games start next Saturday. So we have about a week and a couple days to still get your name in to the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. It's presented by Spring Hill Ace Hardware. And, man, Tip put together such a great grand prize worth over $1,200. The winner, one person, will receive a Weber Traveler Grill with a very nice cover that comes with it, so you can travel with it, take it to your tailgate. Also, a Solo Stove Bonfire Pit, which just looks awesome. An Igloo Trailmate 70-quart cooler. It's really high quality. It's got those big wheels you can pull it around on. Mm-hmm. Lots of protection around the cooler, and it can fit 112 cans, I believe.
There you go.
And if you want to be a little more mobile with your cooled beverages, a Yeti Camino 35. So one of those shoulder slung coolers that fits 35 cans. All of that going to one person. And we already have over 100 that have entered. Some of favorite usernames here. You've got Alberta Ed has entered. And now, he just sounds like a good dude. I don't know Ed, or at least I don't think I know Alberta Ed. I would guess he's in public safety of something. Like he's either a fireman or maybe works in law enforcement. Or I'm not sure, but Alberta Ed seems like a dude that I'd like to know.
Work security during the two sausage festivals. One of those guys that would volunteer his time.
There's one person who's going as Let's Go Brandon. Okay. In the picks here, how about Ashley Schaefer BMW, a nod to the HBO show Eastbound and Down. One person named there's My Dog Makes the Picks. They'll probably do better than me this year. There's Ding Dong and Ho Ho, who's entered. One person named there's Midday Mobile. Now, that's not Sean, as far as I know, but they are carrying the Midday Mobile moniker into this season, so good luck to them. Also, Trashy Trucker has joined us here. Don't want to get on his bad side. Sock Cop. You might know Sock Cop. He is well known around here. He writes a lot of speeding tickets, a sock on man's hand, who does a lot of videos. Anyway, a lot of people have entered. The Beer We Got, another one here. Tower of Power, and quite a few really creative names that y'all have put out there. So join us. It's fun. We talk a lot of trash throughout the season. Spanish Fort Pineapples has also joined.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we won't get into that name.
Well, we could.
We could, for sure. So we'd love you to join us. You can text us.
Yeah, some people over at the house every now and then.
Every now and then. Don't forget to make your picks if that's happening. But text us 251-343-0106. I'll give you the link through to join us. And that link also on our Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5, and our website, FMTalk1065.com.
If you have a pineapple lifestyle, there could be some weeks where you just forget because you're otherwise distracted.
Yeah, but, you know, that grand prize.
Oh, yeah.
If I mean, you're doing that.
The grand prize will you will, even if you're not a tailgater, now you will.
You would probably need a cooler that could fit 112 beverages or something like that.
Yes, you would. But great grand prize tip. My buddy from way back in the day, good guy at Spring Hill Ace Hardware, and thank you to Tip Wingard for providing our winner with a lot. Plus, Dalton's got that trophy and is in search of a crown.
That's right. We're going to get a crown and give it to whoever wins this year. Maybe we can get Governor Ivy to play our game. And how would that look if she beat us all picking college games this year?
Well, I bet she knows good, but, you know, I bet she knows.
That's just good ball.
At least the SEC, she's probably pretty familiar with who's up and who's down.
So she was at the opening of a STEM elementary school in Montgomery earlier this week, I guess. Okay. May have been over the, like last Friday, but we had the audio earlier this week where she was asked about her health. And this kind of all began again. There's been a lot of talk about the governor's health since she took office almost. And
yeah, but it's really ramped up in the past 3 weeks.
It has, yeah. And it's because she kind of went off the map for a while. Nobody was really seeing her at any public events.
Right.
I didn't think anything of it. You know, but Kyle Whitmire at AL.com began asking the question, you know, where's Ivy? Is her health okay? Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News reported that there was some doctor's visit for Ivy or something similar to that. And we know she's dealt with some health issues in the past. So she gave an answer at that school presser that she had where she seemed pretty ticked off, you know, that people were asking the question.
She answered it. She didn't sound well when she was telling us how well she was.
Right. There were words that didn't even, it was like a human. It wasn't like a human was talking.
It was like she was screaming from the back of an ambulance. It almost sounded like. So when in, the words were saying, I'm fine, but the delivery of the message made it sound like she was sick.
Yeah, she sounded stressed. Right. I'll say that much.
She's 77, by the way.
77.
Yeah.
And she's been through a lot these last few years as governor of Alabama.
Yeah.
And so she was at another event yesterday in Walker County, and our very own Jeff Poor at 1819news.com posted this story that they had this groundbreaking for a new 50-acre multi-use development up there in Walker County. They're calling it Heritage Landing, I guess, and they're doing a groundbreaking yesterday that Ivy showed up, and then she did a little Q&A after that. And while she was talking about the hard work going into the rural counties of Alabama and how much she loves rural Alabama, then a reporter asked her once again about her health. And here is what Ivy had to say about that.
All right. And any other questions before we wrap up today? Governor, we've had some people reach out to us about your health concerns. What would you want to say to residents of Alabama?
Evidently, my clean bill of health that I've been given has no place in the media's narrative. I am healthy. I am grateful for that. I give thanks to God Almighty every day for my clean bill of health. I'm grateful to the people of Alabama, far and wide, who lift me up in prayer and for health and well-being. I'm grateful. I just wish y'all and the media just get past all this nonsense. Let's move on and talk about things that matter.
So there you go. She continues to say she's healthy. It seemed like she put a little more effort into the answer this time to kind of sound
healthy. Yeah, it sounded more like she was ready for the question, but she still sounded a little ticked off.
Yeah.
At the end of that video, by the way, we have the video, not just audio, she then, she's pretty stern as she's giving this message to the media, like, y'all just get off my back, I'm fine. And then she just breaks into this little smile right at the end, right?
A Cheshire grin.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I want to say it's a non-story. It's kind of what I've thought a lot of the way through until she started answering them in the manner that she has. I don't know. With the election coming up, she's still on the ballot, even though you'd think she would just roll right on through. But November, you know, her name will be on the ballot. So they have to at least keep up those appearances. But the question's being asked enough by members of the media who deal with Montgomery a lot more than we do.
Right. I think that's it, Dalton. Think about this. Now, Whitmire and people, Todd Stacey, that have access to the governor's office or are used, you know, they're they follow state politics. Well, the top of state politics is the governor of the state. And if she kind of goes silent and there's no real word of what's going on, if you follow the Braves and suddenly they don't play for 9 days, you're like, what's going on?
Right.
Can the Braves please explain to us why they aren't playing baseball right now? I think it was something like that. So is it a legit question? Of course it is. She's the governor of the state. She's 77 years old. She's up for re-election in a couple of months. It's relevant for sure. Or let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106. Is it blown out of proportion, or are the questions of the governor's health legit?
Yeah.
You know what I think, and now we'll find out what you think.
Yeah, would love to hear from you. Also, former President Donald Trump lashing out at Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Imagine that.
The some of the candidates who are running in these big races in Arizona, Ohio, they're not raising the money they were, and the blame is being passed around, and now Trump going after McConnell. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Interesting. 17 after 8 o'clock, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is Mobile Mornings. About to be interrupted by an EAS announcement about flash flooding, probably. So y'all get ready for that. It's 8:22 on FM Talk 106.5. Yep, more rain today. Is it raining right now or just really dark out there?
Just dark.
Looks like it's about to rain again. We're at airport in I-65. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 8:23 on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, and with the midterms coming up, and all of the expectations that have been placed on there being a red wave come November, will there be a red wave and infighting between Republicans, and how will that, you know, swing or not swing some of these races? Ben Domenech, who is, you may have seen him on Fox News sometimes. He writes this newsletter called The Transom that I've been getting for years.
Yeah, I've seen him on there. Right.
And he's writing about some of these races that we have going on. He said just a few months ago, Blake Masters, who's an Arizona Senate candidate running against Kelly out there, he said Blake Masters was strongly criticizing Republican leader Mitch McConnell, expressing hopes, as other conservative candidates have this cycle, that he would receive a viable challenge to his Senate leadership after November. But on Friday, Masters was sounding a different tune, outright hoping that McConnell would back his campaign in the Arizona Senate race, as the Senate leader has for J.D. Vance in Ohio, another candidate that you have there in another important race.
And Vance was also backed by Trump.
Yes, Masters and Vance both, Trump and America First candidates. He says Masters' experience is not unique in this election cycle. It's a dynamic conservatives have seen before. Candidates go from harsh McConnell critics in their primaries, appealing to grassroots voters that are infuriated by McConnell's establishment ways, to sounding more amenable tones after winning their nominations. There had been some hope in conservative circles that by shifting multiple seats away from longtime McConnell loyalists and banking on the open hatred that Trump has for McConnell, 2022 could be the beginning of the end for Mitch. But at this stage, even if the Republicans see an influx of new blood, the need for money to get there outweighs the price of eating crow. He basically says that the war chest that Trump has gathered over these last few years, that he's not putting enough of it into these races of candidates backed. And so they're going elsewhere to look for
money,
and that McConnell is that fund. And we've seen certainly a lot of McConnell money in some races down here in Alabama.
Let me tell you the way I see this, and you tell me if I've got it right, okay? In the primary, they're appealing to their
constituents.
Further to the right. They get to the actual election day in November, and they need now to be a little broader in their approach so they can get people who are kind of in the middle, maybe independents or conservative Democrats that don't think they're that they're too far right with Trump.
That's general.
In many states, I guess, it matters. In the state of Alabama, if it had been Mo Brooks that ended up being the nominee, had won the primary, or Katie Britt, either one, they were going to walk into the Senate one way or the other, pretty much.
Right.
But in some states, there is a Democrat presence that they've got to address.
Generally the route taken.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
In the past. Okay. I'm not sure if Masters and Vance are running those kinds of races because they are, at the very least, Trump-like.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of modeled their style after Trump. And you know, both may have been like that before even running for office, and both had successful careers before running for office. Another similarity there.
Yeah.
The reason they're moving McConnell's way now is they need money,
yeah,
apparently. And now Dominic, he might be a big, you know, he might not like Trump. I've seen some criticisms from him in the past, so this might be coming from a different angle here. But it seems that Trump, according to some of these reports, he's holding on to a lot of the campaign money that's been raised for what might be coming in 2023 and into 2024. So you would wonder, would Trump maybe kind of start to tamp down some of his criticisms of the Senate Minority Leader? And that is not the case. There's a new email out from Trump here that came last night, a newsletter, and he writes, "The Democrats have Mitch McConnell and his lovely wife, Elaine Coco Chow, over a barrel. He and she will never be prosecuted." He links a story from The Federalist, which I think Dominic runs or plays a major part in. "He and she will never be prosecuted as long as he continues to give the radical left the trillions and trillions of dollars that they constantly demand." I think they're referencing here some of his wife's ties to China that she's had. Trump continues, "He was afraid to use the, quote, debt ceiling card in order to stop the most expensive waste of money in our country's history to be spent on the Green New Deal, which will only cause one thing, a depression." What he's calling the Green New Deal is what the Democrats have been calling the Inflation Reduction Act,
right,
which I think he's closer to what the name should be than they are. He continues, "These expenditures are something our country can never recover from. Mitch McConnell is not an opposition leader. He is a pawn for the Democrats to get whatever they want. He's afraid of them and will not do what has to be done. A new Republican leader in the Senate should be picked immediately."
He's got a lot going on right now. I mean, look, he's in this fight with McConnell. And maybe to the detriment of some of these candidates, you know, I don't know how it's all going to play out. He's got the situation in New York, right? That's not fun and games up there either, right? The investigation.
Right.
And then, of course, he's got the Mar-a-Lago files and the DOJ and the FBI. Donald Trump's plate for a guy who is not in office, for a guy who has not yet said he's going to run for office, his plate is pretty full.
Yeah.
You know, and for him to be engaged in all this while all that's still going on, the guy can multitask. I give him that. I'd be in the corner crying somewhere with all this going on.
Yeah. And that's just something to keep your eye on. And Trump, you know, one of the things he showed in 2015 is that you don't necessarily need to have the largest war chest in order to win a race. And we're talking about the top race in the land, the president.
Right.
And
that's him.
That's him. So can Masters pull it off? Right. Can Vance pull it off?
You could be Trump-like. You can't be Trump.
They are at the very least worried that they don't have the money to pull it off, which is why they're moving towards McConnell. And this just goes to show you again how McConnell and McCarthy and Schumer and Pelosi got into the roles that they're in and stay in those roles.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have to do as much with the votes they're able to whip up for different things, although Pelosi is known for that as well. She's able to get the Democrats in line, as divided as they may be sometimes. But it's all about the fundraising.
Yes.
It's all about raising money for these campaigns and through the various PAC names that the money ends up being funneled through and to. And so with all the Republicans that have said they're tired of McConnell's leadership and they want new blood in that role, well, as long as he holds the purse strings,
they're on their knees to him, begging for some of that money here. It's like we've got some very contested races. They don't know if they can win or not without the money.
That's right. We'll see how this goes heading into November.
830 FM Talk 106.5. Rob Hulbert with Lagniappe Mobile is on the way. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35.
Where are you going to eat dinner tonight, Dan?
Going to eat at University and Old Shell Voodoo Wing Company.
Okay.
And I'll be assisting you. I'm like, on Thursday nights during football season, I'm like Dalton's roadie. And then but you're like Rob Hulbert's roadie.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. No guessing. And so I'm assistant roadie to Dalton, and we get everything set up for not Rob Hulbert,
Oh, you're talking Doug Holton.
Doug Holton.
Tiger Talk Overtime.
Yes.
That's
Doug
why we're
comes
be
over
there
from
tonight.
Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. Big Auburn guy himself. So Doug Holton comes over. We've got Rob Hobart on the line. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway, it's a lot of fun. And, of course, we get underway around 6 o'clock. It's Voodoo Wings.
Yeah, join us tonight. It's going to be fun. We'll be there 6 through at least 8 o'clock. It is that time of the week, Thursday, and Rob Hobart with Lanyap and Lanyap Mobile is on the line with us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Dan had me confused. I thought I was missing a gig or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I gave you an assignment for tonight out of the blue. Sorry about that.
I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing to help you, Rob.
We were both lost in a vortex there. Dan was just talking about something. We had no idea what we were going on.
Well, that's my style. I'm looking at radar, by the way, and it does not look good.
Oh, okay.
We got more rain coming down in much of Mobile and Baldwin County, so y'all just be careful out there.
Yeah.
All the weathermen can just take off for a month. It's raining.
Really? Really? That's it?
That's the weather. It's raining.
Should be easy enough, right?
Right.
So, Rob, plenty to talk about as the city council's had a lot of action over these last few weeks, and county commission even getting in on the fun over the last week and a half. And Topgolf seems to be the big discussion right now, and I was listening to you talk about it on the Lagnapod that you published yesterday, and Topgolf, you know, there's a lot of heated commentary on, the heated commentary specifically coming from one side that thinks that this money should not come from the city or county in order to help a private enterprise. Everyone else seems to be like, oh, cool. Topgolf is fun, and I look forward to them being in Mobile. Well, your overall thoughts on this, and it sure looks like the city council will give the go-ahead next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a game of chicken with this stuff. I mean, you know, we make the logical leap. We say, well, you know, they're not giving every business a $1 million, but I guess by the same token, you know, it's one of those things you say, well, if you want Topgolf in Mobile, and Topgolf is not everywhere, it's it's not like bringing a Pizza Hut in town. Not everybody has a Topgolf. People want one, and they think, well, you know, if we don't give them this, are they going to go away? And I mean, that's always the thing. You know, they come in, people come in and say, we must have this, or we won't be able to be here. And you either have to say, all right, well, we're not going to give it to you, and you guys do what you want to do and see if they come or you know, run the risk of them going somewhere else, or you just give them the money. And I think that's where they are at this point.
Now, Mobile success rate.
It's not always an easy choice. It's kind of like when the city, when USA was telling the city they wanted $5 million,
yeah,
you know, for the stadium, and they said, nah, we're not doing that. And the stadium got built anyway, you know, so there are ways, you know, it's Texas Hold'em, I think.
County Commission backed the stadium, though, right?
They did, yes. Mercieri Lugood, I mean, they backed the Topgolf is what you're talking about, I think. But, yes, and it's in a stadium as well. But,
yeah,
you know, and Mercieri Lugood came out, and she voted against giving Topgolf this money and basically said she just was not in favor of giving private industries, breaks like this or giving them incentives. But it's a tough choice, but you know, I think overall, if everything works out the way it's supposed to, then that money should be paid back in you know, many times over.
All right, so this, we're on thin ice a little bit, because what Topgolf, it's going to succeed if Mobilians show up to Topgolf. Mobilians, yeah, do not have a great record of showing up to things. That's why the Bay Bears are gone. Every team is gone, and no one sticks around. People don't support them. You can go out to a South Alabama baseball game and visit with 9 friends.
Mm.
You can go to a basketball game, and you might visit with 20. But I'm overstating this, but Topgolf needs Mobilians to go there and spend money, and that's why, you know, I would be concerned about it.
Well, I mean, I think it's an attraction. I think people want them. It's, you know, people talk about it all the time. You know, they go to other places and they love Topgolf. You know, you hear all this. So we'll see. There's a lot of golfers in Mobile. A lot of people come here to play golf. You know, a lot of folks like me probably wouldn't mind hitting golf balls and having a beer and not having to go out and walk 18 holes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and Rob, you know, I think the main thing that will decide whether or not this is a successful venture or not, I've heard certainly from enough people in Mobile who say they will go and go multiple times, and I'd be one of those people, unless crime is out of control at that location. And I say this because there's the potential, you know, if they don't have enough security or the right kind of security parameters put in place, that I've been to Topgolf maybe 3 times, and one of those times was in San Antonio, Texas, and there was a shooting outside of the Topgolf in the parking lot while we were there. If stuff like that starts happening at McGowan, because, you know, this is a fun place that teenagers will probably go to and young adults, and if that begins happening, so I don't think the work ends once Topgolf has been built and people start going. It has to be a place that people want to go, and maybe it becomes, maybe McGowan grows because Topgolf is there.
Yeah,
that area, you know, it's, that area is kind of plagued by a lot of homelessness already. There is a lot of kind of transient behavior around there to begin with. You know, the Hollywood Theater certainly had their troubles over time there. You know, I think there's a lot of factors. I mean, are they going to come in? Are they going to market? Are they going to get out there and really beat the bushes and let people know they're there? I mean, those are all things that get into the, you know, you have to factor into whether a business succeeds or not. And, you know, sometimes some of these things, you know, I mean, go back to the Bay Bears. They didn't market themselves at all, at all, you know. So it was, I mean, I'm not saying that Mobilians didn't support them at the end, but by the same token, they didn't really do much for themselves either.
Good point. And you mentioned the homeless, and that's also a topic of discussion this week with the homeless in Tillman's Corner. And yesterday was the deadline, moving a pretty large homeless camp out from behind the Lowe's there in Tillman's Corner. And a lot of opponents of that happening, I guess, are saying, hey, the city's moving all these homeless without a place to put them up. I don't know if it was...
They're not putting them behind the Home Depot? I thought that's where they were going.
Yeah, just move them over there. Yeah, I thought I did see more homeless, like, around yesterday, and I don't know if it's related or not, they didn't really, I guess, have anywhere for them to go. There is this one nonprofit that says they're going to put houses out there. I don't think this is the fix. It's a Band-Aid, but it is a real problem in Tillman's Corner and other parts of the city.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what the answer is to it. Nobody really has a good answer to that. I mean, we're at a, you know, a place where there are help wanted signs hanging on a lot of businesses around town, so it's kind of hard to say this is a circumstance where people can't get a job if they want one. Obviously, there's a lot of mental illness included. There's a lot of substance abuse that are problems. So, you know, those are issues that have to be really dealt with in order to solve this problem. I don't know where you put people in that regard. I mean, there's not an easy answer to it.
No, because if there was, it would strike a match and be nationwide, because so many, you know, who isn't dealing with this problem at this point, Dalton? Every metropolitan area in the United States is dealing with crime, especially young crime and gun crime and the homeless problem, and some are dealing with it better than others, but nobody's got it all solved.
No, and I will say, you know, Councilman Reynolds had that anti-camping ordinance, and he was absolutely blasted for that, but Tennessee did the same thing, and we just talked to a caller the other day. Nashville is looking much better than it did before that ordinance. That leads to more people being okay with going into downtown Nashville and spending money. Mm-hmm. So it's really not just the residents of Mobile who are worried about this, but, I mean, I would be upset if I was a business owner and that was happening,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we talk about, you know, we often get caught up in the rights of, you know, there's rights of one group versus the rights of the other. But, you know, if you have a business, you have a home, you have a right to have that business not covered up with homeless people. I mean, we're downtown. We have that issue all the time. It's there's a business very close to ours that seems to allow that to congregate in their parking lot quite a bit. And there are times when that overflow starts to hang out in front of our office all the time and break things and do all, you know, and it becomes an issue. You know, what do you do about it? Is that okay? I don't think it's okay. I mean, we didn't put things there so that they can just get have all our windows broken and everything mm-hmm. put outside get broken. So it's a tough choice.
Yeah. Speaking of rights, we played some audio earlier this hour. Do the citizens of Alabama have a right to see all of Governor Kay Ivey's health records? Because she's made two stops since this became an issue, apparently, again. You know, we've talked about her health quite a bit over the last few years. And she continues to insist she's healthy, everything's fine, vote for her for governor in November. Is there more to this, or is this a non-story thing?
I mean, we have a right as citizens to know what to have, I guess, when there is a reasonable circumstance in which we say, hey, there have been reasonable reports that there's a problem. I mean, and it's a simple answer. You know, if they're asking her, have you been in the hospital? She won't say yes or no. That's a simple answer. I mean, it's that part of it gets really troubling. And then, you know, of course, it's blasting the people who are asking the question. I mean, that's their job. You know, if people call me up and say, hey, Rob, the governor's in the hospital and, you know, it's credible sources are calling, we're going to call and ask. That's our job. We would be derelict in our duty not to call and ask about that. But just kind of coincidentally, today, I think, is the day she had to make it till today. So if the election is held now and she wins, regardless of what happens, if maybe her health is not good, she has to step down, etc. Ainsworth would step forward, and if he wins, assuming he wins the election in November as well, he would step up and be governor.
Yeah, I was talking to Dalton, saying if you covered the Atlanta Braves and suddenly they didn't play for 9 days or 10 days, you would say, what's going on? And it's pretty much these people cover state government and the governor. That's a logical question, right?
It is. Look, this is the attitude of Alabama government in general, state government in general, is that media has no right to ask us a question about anything. The job that people in the media do is ask those questions. We ask them on behalf of the people of the state.
Right.
And whether people don't like the media or they think the fake news, whatever it is, we still have a job to do. And that, it's a pretty simple, again, a very simple answer. If she wasn't in the hospital, they should have said, no, Kay's right here. She's not in the hospital. Talk to her. You know, and put an end to it right then. They have perpetuated this by refusing to answer it. It's their issue. When she has shown up, she doesn't look great. She sounds winded. She sounds kind of funny. I've been in the room with her before. You guys have been in the room with her before. I wouldn't say she's the picture of health.
Mm. Well, she's 77 years old, you know, too.
Yes, she is. And I've seen 77-year-olds in better shape, let me just say.
Well, she could clear all this up tomorrow by going out and running a marathon or something like that. Right. You know, do some athletic feat.
I think you're good to go. I don't know. I mean, it's really not a big deal. I mean, I think she could have diffused as well. Even if she said, yes, I was in the hospital for a little bit, but I had COVID or I was sick or whatever it is, I don't think it's that big a deal.
She's allowed it to become a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if she has cancer again, if she's having a recurrence of cancer, I think that is a reasonable question and it's something people ought to know. Going into the election, I think it's a fair thing to know.
Yeah, me too.
You know, are you electing somebody who is in imminent danger?
Right.
You know, that seems like kind of a, you're buying a pig in a poke if you don't know what you're getting there.
Nice. Hey, Rob, I don't know how Tommy Hicks doesn't have hand cramps at this point after all the high school football stuff he's written up these last couple weeks, and now he's moving into college and all the sports. And you got two new employees on the staff who are already off to a roaring start.
We do, yeah. We've got Brady Petrie and Kyle Hamrick that joined us as reporters. So now we've got four full-time news reporters, and I think it's already showing. I mean, these guys are still getting their feet wet, but we're putting out a lot more news than we ever have. So it's a good thing.
How can folks sign up online and get that news delivered straight to them?
Go to my.lanyapmobile.com. You can sign up right there, and it's $1.50 a week. But there is, I can tell you, this week when we were putting the paper together, there were several stories. Everybody's coming up going, I've got this story. I'm like, we have room for this many in the paper. So it's going online. And so there's a lot of stuff going online. If you're not a subscriber, you're going to miss a lot of news.
Rob, we appreciate you sharing time with us this morning, as you do every Thursday, and we will talk in 1 week.
All right, guys, y'all have a great weekend.
Hi, man.
All right, Rob Holbert. Check him out, lanyapmobile.com, and pick up the newest issue of Lanyap on stands now.
851, 9 away from 9. Jeff Porsche Show at 9:05 on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, this segment of the show brought to you by the local law firm, Tobias and Comer Law. Experienced personal injury lawyers. They've been serving Mobile and the surrounding areas for, oh, many a decade now. They have compassion and a track record of success. One of the things Brian Comer, Desi Tobias, a couple great dudes. I just saw Brian earlier this week. Had to talk about our families, good stuff like that. That's what you'll get when you work with Tobias and Comer Law. They work each client's case personally from start to finish. They don't hand your case over to some other lawyer that you don't know at some other law firm. They've recovered over $45 million for their clients over the years and want to put their expertise to work for you. And personal injury lawyers, personal injuries can occur virtually anywhere, whether it's defective products, dangerous surroundings, alcohol or drug-related injuries, whether they happen in trucking or car accidents or not. Also, maritime injuries, another specialty here for Tobias and Comer Law. If you want to call for a free consultation, their number, 251-432-5001. That's 251-432-5001. And online, tobiascomerlaw.com.
On the way, on the Jeff Poor Show, you got from the Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey will be first up as a guest around 9:35. An hour from then, Tripp Pittman, of course, former state senator, and that'll be at 10:35, and a little after 11 o'clock, Jefferson County GOP Chairman Paul DeMarco, all on the Jeff Poor Show, which is up next.
Drewski on the text line, taking a guess at what the governor may have been in the hospital with.
I don't know about that.
I don't think we can read that. I'll just say good one, Drewski.
Yeah, it was good.
Gus says he's voting Yolanda Flowers over Governor Ivey. For some reason, I think Gus is being sarcastic there. I don't know. Maybe Gus is actually thinking about voting for Yolanda Flowers. Remember, Yolanda Flowers was in a primary debate right here on this station.
She was. Yep.
On Robert Kennedy's show.
Yep.
Kennedy for Alabama. Marie referencing the homeless problem and also the hiring issues at the same time says, just because there's help wanted signs doesn't mean that people can get jobs. They may not be qualified. They may not have the things necessary, such as adequate clothing or education. She says, I mean, you can't just judge somebody by them being homeless and say, oh, they can just go get a job. That's not always the case. You must also consider the person that is hiring said homeless people. And Marie goes on, a well-thought-out text there.
I was responding to what Rob Holbert had to say, homeless people and at the same time all these help-wanted signs.
People act like this is a black and white discussion, just like everything. I think that it's possible to show compassion for people who are living lives like that. There are a lot of homeless people who, it sounds sick to say, but there are homeless people who like their lifestyle. It's probably a small percentage mm-hmm. comparatively, but they are out there. You can have compassion and at the same time do what's best for your family mm-hmm. first, your local community second.
Business, yeah.
And those things don't always square up,
no.
And you got to choose sometimes.
Yeah.
And what's going on in Tillman's Corner makes people not want to move to Tillman's Corner.
At some businesses.
Right, and the same can be said for a lot of other places around the city. And there are ways to help, there are ways to show compassion, while also, holding a strict red line. And not letting certain things go on that hurt your community and eventually affect your family. That's just kind of where I stand on that.
I think that's well thought out.
With the Topgolf discussion, Tony says McGowan Park is not located in a very nice part of town. I think it's a mistake to put Topgolf there. I think it would have done better in Malbus. And that was the word that Mobile was competing against Baldwin County mm-hmm. and Mississippi and parts of Florida. A lot of people say Mississippi has a Topgolf in Biloxi. That's a virtual Topgolf.
Yeah.
It's still Topgolf, but it's one of those like virtual ranges where you're hitting into a mat that's a few feet away.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. There's no getting around it. I was a terrible golfer. I took it up late in life, never got it down.
Mm-hmm.
Will I be terrible at Topgolf?
It doesn't matter. It's still a lot of fun.
Okay.
You can be terrible and still have a fun time out there.
Okay, yeah, I didn't have as much fun at golf because it's public and people are looking at me and just saying out loud, you're terrible. 8:59, FM Talk, Jeff 4 on the way.